What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Amen. So we'll continue the series, Reckless. Hallelujah. Talking about the reckless love of God, the passionate love with which God has loved us, and how that love can revive, that love can restore, that love can transform the life of any person. Amen. The power of a fruitful walk with God lies in your knowledge of His love for you. And most times we've confused the love of God and the love for God. Because what we've been taught is the love for God. Why we should love God. How we should love God. And as good as it is to love God, the emphasis of the New Testament is that is a revelation, an open revelation of God's love for you. That's why the Bible says in very clear terms in 1 John 1, that we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. That's how it works. It's in understanding the love of God. And in understanding the love of God, we are able to enter into the deeper dimensions of who God is. Are you with me? Because God has not called us to a religion. He has called us to a relationship. He has not called us to rules. He has called us to fellowship. Do you understand? So until you begin to see God like that, it will be a struggle. Your Christian walk will always be undulating. You have highs and lows. Are you with me? Now when I speak of highs and lows, I'm not talking about, you know, there are days you feel like God is wearing the same shirt with you. And there are other days when you feel like He pulled His suit somewhere. So that's not what I'm talking about. Those are feelings. It has nothing to do with feelings. We access God by our faith. Do you understand me? So it's so clear. It's by faith. So there are days I feel Him. There are days I don't feel Him. But He's there. He loves me. That's why you have to come to know the love of God. You don't say, oh, I was praying this morning, but I was not feeling Him. Feeling Him or not doesn't change anything. He's there. My wife is not here right now. I don't feel her, but I know I'm married. I can't pick my phone after this service and say, hello, sweetheart. Are we still in love? You know, she'll ask me, are you okay? You know? Because where would that come from? It has nothing to do with feelings. The feelings come, the feelings go. I know when you understand love as also a set of responsibilities, am I talking to someone? And the commitment and conviction that one has, you'll not be quick to jump in and out of relationships with people. Praise God. You know, some people say, I love my child. The child has never done anything to get me angry. Well, that's powerful. Or I love this person. This person has never. You know, I just remember this story that Reverend Gunwok's wife, you know, she was just talking to us and it wasn't the message, but I know I was hearing her talk or someone told me the story. You know, there's this wonderful, her children are in a school in Jaws, Hillcrest. And there's this wonderful family that, you know, the way the whole Hillcrest family thing is, when they come, you know, they get to meet. And she's always admiring this family and wondering, this man has two sets of triplets. And anytime they come, the kids are all in school there. And they'll come with the kids, you know, and you just see how the woman is so composed, organized, the comportment, because she has five girls. Rengongo has five girls. So every time she said she'll be telling herself, wow, this woman must have a lot of, you know, strength. She was wishing she could be like the woman. Until one day, the woman couldn't hold it. They came for one of those meetings and the children were acting up because I've seen the particular family she's talking about. And she saw this calm woman, you know, began to spank them and put them in their place. She said, hey, it has to be like this. So we're all laughing, you know. But let me tell you the truth. If you want to relate with God on the basis of feelings, your Christianity will be highs and lows. You don't have to feel Him to know. You have to know He's there. That's why you need to take God at His word and stay with what His word has said. Am I talking to you? So today I want to talk about breaking walls, building bridges. Let's talk about the reckless love of God. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 13. John chapter 13, by way of text, we read John 13 from verse 34. John 13, 34. Breaking walls, building bridges. We are still running the series Reckless. Now, the Bible, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The next verse says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. We're going to read all the way to verse 40. So read like 6 verses there. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And you know how Pharisees and Sadducees in your life. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Now I want us to understand something. Are we ready for God's word tonight? I want us to open our hearts to... You know, last Sunday we were talking about how the root cause of every person's problem in life can be traced to some form of rejection or the other. Now, you might not even know it because rejection comes in different shades. You will see people who have been had their hearts broken because of a relationship begin to tend towards a particular lifestyle. Are you with me? And sometimes they fail to realize that what has triggered that particular lifestyle is because of that rejection that has formed a wrong belief system. Because each time that we face rejection, it reinforces a wrong belief system. Something tells you, they don't like me. They don't want me. Now, sometimes these things are not things that are just happening now. It could be things that have its roots way back to our upbringing. If there was a preferred child over you, it's enough. You know, unconsciously forms a mindset. You were in school doing your best, but you never passed the exams. You know, I was talking to someone, and he said, back in school, Pastor, I don't know how people pass. Because it was a struggle to pass, and I know I used to do my best. So at some point, I just said, look, there's no point that you must not succeed by passing. You must not succeed by passing. So he started learning how to cheat his way through things. And for him, cheating your way through life was another way of being clever. Are you with me? Well, you see, that all came from the fact that if you begin to study, that when his siblings will come home, they will come with certificates. I get me. And everybody's coming home with prizes. So they were preferred. And he was a prayer point. And it's frustrating when your parents are praying for you in the presence of every other person. So we can do spiritual things that have major side effects. You get it now. I know rejection leads to shame. Then it becomes a ghost spiral, right? From shame, you feel you're not good enough. And then you have identity problem. And then identity problem reinforces a wrong belief. Then that wrong belief determines your action. Because everything every person is doing, like it or not, is based on something they believe. It's based on something they believe. All your action, the sum total of all your action, why you act the way you act, is based on something you believe. And that's why scripture is interested in changing what you believe, not what you're doing. And how to change that belief system is that you need to take God's word. Because I said that there are three things in scripture. How many of you remember from last Sunday? Three things. If you look at the New Testament, you can crystallize into three things. That there's the fact of scripture, there are your feelings and your experiences, and what your faith decides to be true. You follow now. So you can choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or stay with your feelings that you don't even feel there's a God. It is the same way with rejection. It is the same way with accepting God's love. We are not playing down any person's experience, but we are saying the fact of scripture is that Jesus was rejected on your behalf. And that is a superior fact over your experiences. That if you receive the love of God into your heart, it will heal you of anything that anybody has done to you. Do you understand me? You know, one of our brothers in church is even here. He's even in church this night, even this evening. I remember some few years ago, he was telling me how he discovered that his father had another child somewhere. And he was hurting. Are you getting me? And the father was spending more money on that child than he spent on them, because he's like, the responsibility of catering for them was left to his mom. And here was the father spending lots of money on this child. Somehow he traced and found this other person. So I told him, you know, one of those times, I said, what your father did, are you with me? You have no power over his choices, but you have power to choose what you want to believe. I can't begin to tell you why your father left you people as you are fine like this. I was taking care of another child that you knew nothing about. Shockingly, in the same city. I don't know. I'm not your father's friend. Do you understand me? So I can't tell why he did that. But I can tell you one thing. The fact of scripture is that God loves you. And you have a heavenly father. And if you would accept that love, it will change everything about your life. So a lot of times we can't explain everything one is going through, but we can explain the truth of scripture. And we are saying that having faith in God's love eternally transforms your life. Because God will do better than your earthly father could ever do. 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. The Bible says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. See, that's where it is. You've been listening to this series, Reckless, so you know God loves you. But it's important to take it another step. It's not just enough to know. It's important to believe that He loves you. Now, why do I say that? If you don't believe the love of God for you, you will be pitching events with God, against God. If something happens, you start questioning. Does God still love me? But the truth is this. It's because He loves you, you are going to overcome every obstacle, overcome every situation. So it's important to believe the love of God for you. God is love.
The Bible does not say God has love. The Bible does not say God tries to love, or God is a loving God. I know we sing he's a loving God. He's not a loving God. He's love. He's raw love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Look at what the next verse says. The next verse says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, when you read the King James, you will not really get the full frame of the construction of this verse. You know, before I used to wonder, how is the love of God perfected in us? When you even read the next verse, verse 18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So I said, what is perfect love? What is perfect love? What's imperfect love? What's perfect love? You know what perfect love is? You know what scripture is saying? That word perfect, there's the word telios. He's talking about mature love. And guess who has this mature love? God. And what mature love means is love that is given without condition. That's what it means. That God loves you unconditionally. Now, that is not how we love. Let's be honest. There are still impurities of performance that we need for us to love people. That's why if you look at your life, you are naturally prone and disposed to love people who treat you better. Let me ask you a question. Are all your friends not based on certain parameters? Did you just see somebody and just love the person? No, it's based on certain parameters. Say, why is this person your friend? Because why do you want to marry this person? Oh, because he is. Because she is. So we have our various parameters that we use in evaluating love. Because we don't love perfectly. But if you ask God, why do you love this person? The answer is, I just love this person. Scripture says, go back to verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. Or the love of God has come to full maturity in us. That means we are so, you know, this is how we know that the love of God is established in us. We are bold. That means as long as there are impurities of fear in your heart, love has not been perfected in you. What is scripture saying? God loves you perfectly, but you must receive that love perfectly too. Because the love of God towards us is perfect, but most times we receive it imperfectly. God loves you without conditions, so you must receive the love of God without conditions. Is somebody following? So that in the day of judgment, if there's any form of judgment that comes, you have no fear. You are not troubled. I don't care. If God is going to show up now, I won't hide under the chair. Because I know he loves me. He doesn't love me because of anything I've done. So I will not depend on anything I've done to receive that love. That's what we're saying. It's something I receive unconditionally. What that means is that you can receive the love of God even when you think you're in your worst state. You know, what happens to you when you make a mistake, when you sin, when you fall? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is to try to up your game to merit the love. That's how we are. Remember that young boy after he squandered all his father's goods on. Let me not even say his father's goods. He squandered his own goods. But his father gave it to him. So, can I say this to you? His father didn't care what he did with it. It's yours. It's his to spend like he wanted to. And this is because we don't know God. If he's giving it to you, what you do with it is your business. Someone said, why then does God teach us stewardship? So that another person can benefit. It's not him. God does not profit from your profitable business. It's another person that profits from it. That's why he teaches us stewardship for the sake of others. It's not because when we profit, that's when he didn't give you a loan. You're not paying him back with interest. He expects you to be good stewards, to multiply what we do, to increase what we do. For what purpose? You know, you should think. It's for others. If God puts a millionaire in my hand, and through his word, through stewardship, I multiply it to 100 million. Is that the reason God will not start feeding in heaven? No. Is that I'll be able to help other people here. So let me tell you, even if I wasted that 1 million, I won't say because I was not a good steward, I can't come back to him. So even if I wasted it, it's as simple as going to God without fear and asking for another one without preconditions. That is what scripture is saying here. In the day of judgment, what is your own day of judgment? Don't be quick to say when we stand before him in heaven. No. When a sentence is passed, what is your response? Are you going to be like that young man who said, I will arise and go to my father and say, you see, it's because, how many of you see, the father loved him perfectly, but he was not receiving the love perfectly. He was still saying, I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Receive me as this. That was a well-rehearsed script. But go and read your Bible very well. The Bible says, as he came home and he was talking to the father, I love the way the Message translation puts it. The Bible says, while he was talking, his father was not even listening. So there are certain prayers we make that don't cross our roof. Because if you understand, see, God is pure liquid love. Ever since I saw that in that day, I never cry over spent money. I don't ever spend money and say, can't look at what I use this money for. I just learn when the next one comes. Some of you still regret. Somebody sold something to me recently and it was way above the price. And I was telling Pastor Steve, but, and I said, well, I'll not just buy from the guy next time. But to say I'm regretting, why should I regret? But some of you, we keep talking about it. We keep talking. He said, if not for that, look at the guy. What if you didn't know? Wouldn't your life go on? The Bible says, but the father wasn't listening. You know why? He loves him perfectly. That's what scripture, that's the picture of perfect love. And instead of asking, what did you do with what I gave you? No, the father was bringing other things. So, put some, kill the fatted cow, clean set of clothes, dress him, put the family ring on his finger. That means he threw the one they gave him away. The last time he threw it away. Say, bring another one. Say, put sandals on his feet. And let me tell you, all God is doing in your Christian experience is to bring you to a place where you can learn to receive the ring, the sandal, the robe, and the food without preconditions. That, because the reason you've not received that, some of you, as God is giving you the robe, you are saying, wait, you didn't hear what I said. You have not heard my prayer. And God is saying, have the ring. You say, hey, understand, is this ring that caused me problem? In the day of judgment, in the day of judgment, so that we'll be bold. We are bold. We are not scared. God didn't redeem us to be cowards. We're not scared. We're not scared. That's why Hebrews 4 says, come boldly. That word come boldly means come without caution. You know, come without thinking of how you performed in the morning. That's perfect love. So perfect love must be received perfectly. Unconditional love must be received unconditionally. Hallelujah. Why am I saying this? You can't give what you don't have. People who don't know how to receive unconditional love from God cannot give unconditional love to others. That's why every time somebody does something, you say, yes, I forgive him, but I have to. So you can't draw the line as to how someone should suffer before the person will merit your forgiveness. Something went wrong between two sisters who were living together. And, you know, it was not something good. And of course, it got to our knowledge. So we handled it and she apologized. She said she's sorry and all that. But the other sister would not just let it go. And, you know, one of those days I was talking with her, she now said, how can she do this? I said, by doing it. She has done it. He said, yes, but she should know where she came from. She should know what we stand for. I said, but she did it. And she has said she's sorry. She now said, Pastor, is that all? So I asked that question. I said, how much do you want her to suffer as a proof that she is what? Sorry. Do you know where that is coming from? Because even in her relationship with God, that is the mindset. If you feel that you always have to pay for something to merit God's love, that is the same thing you would do in your relationship with people. So I told her, I said, how long do you have to repent for God to forgive you? He said, by believing. I said, why can't you believe? I said, you are saying it, but you don't believe it. Some of you, instead of being led of God's Spirit, you are led by critical judgment. You know? And you are the type that the devil cheats with ease. People who think they are too intelligent. He said, me? Nobody can cheat me. Watch. You are the type that the devil wants. The Bible does not say as many as are led by their intellect. He says as many as are led by the Spirit of God. I don't know how I got there. So you must receive the love of God to be able to give it out. Are you with me? And Jesus said, well, we read in John chapter 13. Now, this is what we fail to realize. Look at what he says in John 13, where we read. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That means there was an old commandment. He says there is a new commandment I'm giving to you. That means there was an old commandment. What was the old commandment? The old commandment is what we read when he was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. When he said, they said, which is the greatest commandment? They said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. What is the second one? To love your neighbor as yourself. Why do you have to love your neighbor as yourself? Because you have to love God in your strength. So in loving your neighbor, it has to be on your terms. But Jesus, in John 13, these were the last days of his ministry, earthly ministry here. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment. What is this new commandment? It is not to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength. The new commandment is to receive the love of God. What is the new commandment? Is that you love one another as I have loved you, not as you love yourself. Because most times we are trying to love people the way we love ourselves, and some of us don't even love ourselves. The Bible, Scripture did not call us to love one another as we love ourselves. The new commandment, the new order is love one another as I have loved you. So the first thing is, how has he loved me? Until I know how he has loved me, I won't be able to love another person. See, this is the reason, even in marriage, people can't love. You know why? We are loving our neighbors as ourselves. I've even heard some people say, today I think they were playing one of those kid whatever for yo-yo. I said they should stop playing this lie. This is the old commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Scripture does not call us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That was the old commandment. The new commandment is to love your neighbor as Christ loves you. It's to love. Can I speak to you? Who is one another? When the Bible says love one another, who is the one another? Why are you struggling? Someone is sitting next to you there. That's another person. Your neighbor. Scripture says love that person sitting next to you as Christ loved you. That's the new commandment. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. How has he loved us? He has loved us unconditionally. He has loved us recklessly. So can I speak to you? The new commandment is a call to love like God loves. You know, most times we... You know, it's easy to talk about the different definitions of love when you meet Christians. Love is kind. Love is this. 1 Corinthians 14. But you know, the greatest definition of the God kind of love is to love unconditionally. I don't disagree with all our definitions of God's love, but it's when you just love people unconditionally. The question is, loving people when they have not changed in faith that they will change. Because if you have to love people as yourself, you will be loving people based on your level of perfection. That's why you feel that what you can't do, another person shouldn't do it. Am I talking to someone? If I'm not doing this, you shouldn't be doing it. But what you have not attained to yet, you expect mercy. That is how you are. That's as yourself. Isn't it interesting that people who don't like being shouted at don't have a problem shouting at people? They shout at people. The human being is selfish. I've seen people report to me what they do to me. They are complaining. You see how this person was talking to me? And in my mind, I'm like, but that's how you were talking to me yesterday. So, if you have a thing you're dealing with, everybody should understand. But if you have overcome it, why can't they overcome it? So if you want to deserve my love, then better overcome this stuff. Because I am called to love you as I love myself. That means it's the things that make you happy about yourself that make you happy about others. Praise the Lord. Somebody's quiet. We must eradicate selfishness. Haven't you seen some people say, you've not called me in a while. Say, how many times have I called my own mother? My mother that gave it to me. How many times have I called my mother? Why are you asking me such a thing? You see? If you said that before, put your hand down. You know what I mean? See, everything you have to bring it at your level. But the Bible does not say bring love to your level. It says take it up to my level. As I have loved you. I see people who sing the love of God and know nothing about it. Someone asked me one. I said, Pastor Romeo, how do you stick with people for so long? You know, some of the people who are around me, I know they are not perfect. You know, I have someone who, someone came and sat with me once and was trying to blackmail someone, and everything he was saying was true because I've seen some of those things. So when he was done, I said, we'll just be praying for the person. You know, I said, no, the reason I'm telling you this is because it will spoil your name. I said, you didn't give me a name. You can't spoil a name that you didn't give me. Is Jesus' name spoiled after the Samaritan woman? After the woman from whom he cast demons? After interacting with harlot? After being in the house of Simon the tax collector? Am I talking to someone? Is his name still good? Is he still saving people? It's God that gives a name. Do you understand? It's God that gives a name. So it's in our selfishness sometimes to be too protective of our names. We find it even difficult to help people that need our help. Now this scripture opens us up to what changes the world. This is the only way the church is going to reach. I say by this, are you with me? Go to the next verse, verse 34, 35. Say by this will all will know. This is how they are going to know that you are my disciples. Not that you carry big Bibles. It's that you are demonstrating my love. Not because we wear suits. We can as well be bankers. Not because we wear labels. He says this kind of love brings recognition. That means there's something about the love of God that reaches to the core of any person. Regardless of tribe, religion, race, wherever they are. If you see love, you will see God. And what God wants people to see in us is himself. Not our selfishness, not our titles. Not all these shenanigans and all these things we're putting up. It's not our big cross they want to see. Hello. It's not our paraphernalia. Am I talking to someone? There is something about love that is contagious. God says if they see, they will know. See, I always tell people, if unbelievers don't know who a Christian is, they know who is not one. Maybe you didn't get that. I don't know. They might not. I was talking to someone. And the person asked me a question. I said, to be honest, I don't know what I want. But I know exactly what I don't want. And I said, what you are giving to me is not what I want. You know, there are two. I said, when you bring what I want, I will recognize it. Though I can't tell you what I want. But it doesn't mean I don't know what I don't want. So I said, don't force me. This is not what I want. Unbelievers might not know who God is. But they know who God is not. Somebody with me. So a new commandment. Let me show you one interesting thing. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Maybe I've heard that adage. Two is a company, three is what? Good. We don't want CFC to be a company. We want to reach crowds. We don't want love is king to be a fine design. It's a person we want revealed. Are we together? It should go beyond the lapel we wear. The nature we have won. The life we are living. Verse 16. No, okay, let's read from verse 18. It's a popular text of scripture we all know. Tell your neighbor, love people like Jesus loves you. That's why I personally believe that you can't truly love people if you have not received the love of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Next verse says, again, for emphasis, I say to you, notice, that if two of you, agree on anything, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Pause. Don't be in a hurry. I'm not teaching on prayer. There's something I want you to catch. Look at verse 18. Father, I give you praise. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means it's not heaven that decides what happens here. We're the ones, right? Do you agree to that? We're the ones that decide. That means what we, based on the authority given to us on earth, we decide what heaven allows. Good place to say amen. Look at verse 19. So if two of you agree on anything concerning, agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done. That means two of us, notice the first place it says whatever you, right? What is the second thing? It says two. Hallelujah. Go to verse 20. Look at what it now says. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. He has taken it to what? To three. That means there are certain things you can do alone. Certain things you need more than you. You need two people to do. Then there's a place for three. But see, it's the terminology that Jesus used that really gets to me. He says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Why the emphasis on two or three? Because the more people come, are you listening to me? The more difficult it is to agree. It's easy to agree in a company, but difficult to agree in a crowd. Take your decision. Get another person who shares your perspective. Share it with the person. You'll get along. Bring a third person. You'll be amazed how what we agreed on before, we can change our mind. Say, okay, I don't want it like that again. I want it this way. What am I saying? Hallelujah. It is not possible to have a crowd without differing opinions. It is not possible. I know some of you are saying it's possible. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. That means the wider our doors get, and the more people come, are you getting me? Disagreements will always abound. There are things we can agree on, and there are things we may never agree on. So, the love of God is not agreement. Our fellowship is not on the basis of what we agree on and what we disagree about. The basis of our agreement is that God is with us and we believe in one name, Jesus. Not because we are all thinking alike. Not because we are all agreeing on everything. Why am I saying this? It's not everybody that is like you. And it's not everybody that is like us. So can you fellowship with people you don't fully agree with? You know, this is where the issues come in church. When we begin to have our differences. That church, how come they are wearing trousers? That church, you know, Like in this church, ladies can wear trousers. But if you come to the church now, you see LB wearing earring. You know that he has taken it to another level. Am I talking somewhere? I can understand that. I can understand ladies wearing trousers. How did you understand ladies wearing trousers? Different from... Because I went somewhere, someone was saying, we're in the church and the guy had his... And you know, the brother standing next to me was not comfortable. I said, worship God. Leave him. Leave him and his earring. We will not agree on this. Just worship God. And he's going to be in heaven. Praise God. We might have all our differences in opinion as to what I think about earrings. That's not what the Bible says we should agree on. He didn't say if you agree on earrings, if you agree on hair. When I met LB, his hair was not like this. I didn't know what he wanted to do with his hair then. He had long hair and he had it relaxed. You know, he was just looking. I'm not looking like one of us. Amen. You know what I mean? But I loved him. So let me ask you, can you dare to handle a crowd? Is that okay? Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Let me show you something. We can disagree on background. We can disagree even on morality. Do you understand me? We can disagree on culture. We can disagree on interest. There are many things we disagree about. That's why it's so sad when churches become cultural. You know, it's sad when you hear that this church is South-South church. This church is not central. This church is not supposed to be like that. Uh-oh. You know, recently I went to officiate a wedding in a church. Let me call the name of the church. Pastor Steve Sommer Church. Equa. Amen. You know, and I was there before time. But when I came there, I thought the wedding wasn't holding again. I just came in. I had to ask Pastor Robert. I said, is this a church? I said, check the signpost. He started laughing. He said, Pastor, we're in the church. This is a church. I said, okay, because it doesn't look like anything was happening. You know, they just came there and the wedding was starting by 9. They started coming around 9:20. You know? So the pastor came in. You know, if you see a pastor, you know this is the pastor. So I said, this should be the pastor, but before I could get up to greet him, he briskly walked off. I said, okay, no problem. I'll see him another time. I just wait. And I'm the one joining the couple. And I know at some point he will look for me because I'm the one joining the couple. So, as I sat down, they just came. You know, in CFC, there's somebody greeting you at the door. There, I was the one greeting the people entering. They were not answering me. You know, sometimes I was greeting them, you know. So, then the praise and worship started. And I was so blessed. So eventually the pastor came and we met. He said, oh, yeah. Pastor Roman, were you here? I said, yes, I was here, sir. I was trying to preach. He said, oh, okay. He said, sit down here. I said, thank you, sir. He sat down. But he said something. He said, you know, because there were different people from different denominations. He said, look, in Equa, we don't discriminate. We don't discriminate. If you believe that Jesus died for you and you believe that he rose for your justification, regardless of tribe or where you come from, you are accepted in Equa. So technically, we are all members of Equa. I said nothing could be more spiritual than what he just said. Listen, we might not even agree on speaking in tongues. We might not agree on some of those things. See, but the common ground for agreement is that God is with us in Christ Jesus. That's the fundament. That is the line of agreement. That is our common ground for agreement. So when he came up, I said, I'm a proud member of ECWA. Praise God. And you know, I told him how my parents were joining ECWA. You know, I'm an ECWA product. So my father moved around, so we moved with him. And I'm still moving. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, you see, was multiplying. Is it unity we see next?
No.
There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Who were Hellenists? Hellenists were Jews who spoke Greek, Greek-speaking Jews. I'm talking about the same. These are the same tribe. We're not talking about other people have not joined them. Jews in diaspora who could speak Greek. So you're in a Yoruba church, but there are some Yorubas who came from Igbo land who can speak Igbo. They've already given them name, Hellenists. And they discovered that even in the daily distribution of, see this mighty revival, in the daily distribution of food, they were neglecting, see, human beings. These are people talking about the love of God, but as they are sharing food, they say, give those people first. Is that not how some of you share food at weddings? You get me? They say, give those ones first. I've seen women go to pack food for children. And give the children, they'll say, where's Pretty? Where's Pretty? And so the other one is a goat. Where's Pretty? Pretty, where's Pretty? Pretty has to eat. It's when they've seen Pretty, they've seen Diamond, are you getting me? And they've seen Gold. They say, where are the other children? Are you getting me? You can now have. We always differ on those things. I know I'm talking to somebody tonight. And instinctively, one of the first things we are prone to doing is building walls. Let this church be known as a church that breaks down walls and builds bridges. And what we use to build bridges is the love of God. Listen, we shouldn't talk about reaching a broken wall if we're a broken church. No. Jesus said he has to start among us. CFC members have to love CFC members. Genuinely, I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about this clique thing. We came from Makurdi. You know, we are the founders of CFC. We started, we are the ones, we are the Makurdi crew. We are Tom Chucky's boys. Are you getting me? We came from here. We are so, let that crap end. Are you getting me? This is not APC. Are you hearing me? And then someone comes to church for the first time. The person has done plugin class. It takes the person an extra time to connect with you. You know, because the person is not there, you are still observing the person with one eye. See, let me tell you, something is not right. And then you are giving the person all these stereotype greetings. And you know, when the person is around, the person can tell, I am not one of you. Just because the person is different, you must throw away fear and insecurity and open your heart to love. Listen to me. There are more genuine people than fake people. You hear all this question, be careful with people. There are many fake people. No, I don't believe that. There are more real people, more genuine people than fake people. And listen, if you believe in life that there are more fake people than real people, you attract more fake people. Have to serve, they say, greet someone to your left, to your right. You know, you just, hello, it's nice seeing you, CFC. Yeah, come. Hey, Pastor Joe, how now? Yeah. I know that relationships develop over time, but you should be the one building the bridge. He who must have friends must first of all show himself friendly. You must build the bridge. You must reach out. You say you can't reach out and you're submitting your CV for jobs. What do you mean? Stop being a hypocrite. Have you worked there before? Are you not taking your CV there? So what stops you from reaching out to people? You say you are shy. That's not how God made you. I'm telling somebody, I don't know all these melancholic, sanguine, choleric crap. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the ultimate temperament. And if you look at Jesus, he had all. When you need to be choleric, be choleric. When you need to be sanguine. When you need to be, and stop labeling and saying, no, I'm sanguine by nature. Well, sanguine by what? You have the mind of Christ. You have the life of Christ. You have the love of God in you. Jesus said, if you love those who you love, how are you different from a sinner? If you love those who love you. Some people, if you don't even marry their spiritual daughter, you cannot be in their good book again. You have to marry their spiritual daughter. Where did that nonsense come from? If you love your daughter so much, marry her. Are you getting me? And stop all this. I was talking somewhere recently. I said, I don't force people to marry anybody. Because as I'm standing here, nobody forced me to marry her. They even tried not to. They tried to get me not to marry her. You can't force me to do anything. I'm gentle but stubborn. You can't stop me. I'm not forcing anybody to marry anybody. And because you don't marry someone, doesn't mean I'm going to have a problem with you. Come on. I don't have insecurities. Jesus carried them. Hallelujah. And because you don't agree with me does not mean you disrespect me. Those are how they interpret. Say, can we go this way? Say, I'm thinking this way will be shorter. What do you mean by that? Do you know that's an insult? How can I tell you to go this way? You'll be telling me, let's go the other way. That's insulting. That's culture. That's not insult. That's culture. I know what framed that culture. It's your upbringing. It's not scripture. You're all quiet. Dare to love people who are different. Say amen. Yeah. Other people multiply. Because see, God is bringing us growth in this church. Amen. But you cannot keep people without this love. Your heart must be open to them. Praise the Lord. And your heart must be open to those who are not like you yet. Say amen. Amen. So when you see churches where there are schisms and there are sects and divisions, you know what Paul calls them? Men. 1 Corinthians 3. These are my peeps. I was thinking some weeks ago, and just don't know me that there's one of I have a friend. Every time he's talking about anybody that starts getting close to me, I notice that his natural, his default setting, factory setting, is to pick on something that is not right. Do you know that? The guy is good though, but there are some things about him you don't know. I said, I don't want to know. I said, how come you always know something about people? You always know something about everybody. You know, you should be in the CIA or something. You always know something about people. Why can't you love people the way they are? And it's your insecurity that is masked. Because you know, some people just always like to be relevant. So they feel the only way to be relevant is by putting others down. Whether you say amen or not, I will choose. Glory to God. That was, you see two Christians quarreling. So why? He said, no. Ever since that last time that I spoke to the person, I said, I'm not coming that way again. If I see you in that house again, cut my leg. Carrying knife, cut my leg. You see, man? You are a believer? You are talking to another fellow believer like that? Jesus police. What did the Bible say we should do for those who are overtaken in a fault? Not unbelievers. He said, if you see a brother overtaking in a fault, those of you who are doers, who are standing, should restore the person. Have you ever made attempts at restoration? It's easier to criticize than to pray. And let me tell you, scriptures, you have no right to criticize someone you have not prayed for. And I can teach you this truth. Once you pray for people, you will not have room for criticism. How many of you have genuinely seen someone in an error and you say, Kai, you know, this person is not going to come like this. I'm going to go on my knees. I'm going to put this person in prayer. I'm going to pray for you. You don't do that. It's to sit there and say, Pastor, this is our church. We need help. We need help. If you see where I saw, no. As I entered there, the guy is shocked now. Sure. You know, it's easier to say such things. So you are not shocked. It didn't shock you into prayer. It didn't shock you into prayer. You didn't say, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. This is what you see about this brother. Your word is gaining entrance into his heart. You are helping. See, some of you, you go to nightclub now. I think, I don't know. You go now. It's the people that used to see you there that have told me. I get to you go there. I'm not condoning what you're doing, but it doesn't change you being my brother. I love what Abraham said. We are brothers. Let's not. Can I speak to you? CFC is built on what we stand for, not what we are against. We are for love. And that's what we're going to uphold. We're not a social justice church. There are civil groups already doing it, like Serap. Are you getting me? They're already doing that. If you truly want to love like Jesus, then your hands will be open to everybody. You should be able to cross gender lines. Let me say this in closing. Amen. You see, sometimes when we're talking about Jesus being a man of love, we don't understand the setup he grew up. Jesus grew up in a rigid religious environment. Glory. He grew up in a very, you know, stars. You know, I schooled in Kano, schooled in Bayero University, so I know what. It is. If you schooled in ABU, Kano's, Mandamfodio University, you know what religion is like. Not UJ. Are you getting me? All these UJ that boys and girls are in the same hostel. I'm talking about, I was in BUK, never stepped, you couldn't even enter the common room where girls are. So, all of unbelievers or Christians will have to stand there and send somebody to help us call somebody. That's why we have to do it. I know the truth is that it didn't stop anything, but you are not allowed. And that society was not as strict as the kind of society Jesus grew up in. Are you getting me? And see the kind of divide Jesus was crossing. In John chapter 4, for sake of time, I can't go there. You will see him talking to that Samaritan woman. For the first shock is that he's talking to a woman. A woman. You say you are a man of God. And you're talking to a woman. And the woman is not an usher. The woman is a sick. The woman is One, she's a woman. That's number one fault. Number two, she's a Samaritan. Number three, she's a serial divorcee. Then you're asking her for water. That's why the woman asked and even said, why will you, a Jew, ask of me water? I looked at that question today. And God, Jesus said, Aramaic, do you know the answer? He says, love. That's what verse 9 says. He says, why will you? Because the woman didn't even understand. What's the connection? Why are you asking me for water? There's nothing connecting us. We are not alike. And Jesus did not have to pass there. Scripture says in John chapter 4 verse 4, he only passed there because he needed to pass there. How many of you can pass where society will not? How many of you can go to places where everybody is rejected? It takes courage to love like God. That's what I want to say. It takes courage to love like God. So if someone gets pregnant, if a girl gets pregnant or wedlock, what's your first reaction? Will you go to the house or say, wait, come and see me in the evening in my office. Are you getting me? Come, no, not my office. See my junior pastor. One of our church members, she was even here for her partner saw me. She got pregnant. We didn't have a place. I had a big house, 3-bedroom. She was homeless. I took her about to her. They said, I'm the one that, they said I was the one that impregnated her. That if not, why am I taking care of her like that? I said, hey, this Arame. You see, that was the news round town. A young man met me some years ago. He came home for Christmas. He went to Lagos. Cut a long story short. He met me, said, Pastor Arame, keep doing what you're doing. He said, when I was in book, I was not attending your church. I don't know why. He said, because of the things I heard about you. I said, what do you hear about me? He said, they used to tell us that anytime girls get pregnant, it's your house they go to. So anytime they took my hand, they'll say, this Pastor Arame is the one we're talking about. All the pregnant girls, when they get pregnant, it's his house they stay. It takes courage to love like Christ. All those pregnant girls are godly women today. Imagine Jesus talking to a Syrophoenician woman. You know how they treat non-speaking Jews. They say, look at that dog going. That's why Jesus says it's not proper to take or belong to and give to a dog. It was street name. He was not insulting them. It was street name. You know what the woman said? Save everyone falls from the table, the crumbs, the dog, they treated. But Jesus sat there and talked with them. He walked into the house of Simon. And as he walked into that, Simon is supposed to be his disciple. He's his disciple. And a woman heard that Jesus was in the house. And the woman came, took her bottle of oil, poured it on Jesus' feet, and was just worshiping and loving Jesus. Do you know what Simon said in his heart? He said, if this Jesus is truly a man of God, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. How come you always identify sinners? Can't you see saints in sinners? Am I talking to someone? See, the true test of your love is your acceptance where you find yourself. In your office, do people love you? I know we're all quiet. Carrying a big Bible and putting it on your table is not the proof of Christianity. It's not the proof of Christ. Speaking in tongues very loud is not the proof of it. Some of you are just religious bigots, troubling people everywhere. Empty cans. Lika. That's how you enter your office. Rapako. The moment someone is talking to you, they say, I'm one. If you try me, you'll see the fire of God. You see? That's not the love of God. Glory to God. In this church, we should be breaking more walls. and building more bridges. See, leave your comfort zone today and reach out to someone. Who tell you? The only thing you think about after church, your family, your children. You can't even take 5 minutes out of your comfort zone to inconvenience you. I see a church where when our doors open, right, we are truly happy that the unsaved are coming. And when they come, they can sense it. They can feel it. Not all this. Are you getting it? Glory to God. Glory to God. No. Why are you glowing to God for? These are people that Jesus died for. Let me read one more scripture. It was Mark chapter 12. Mark 12:33. You need to recklessly love people. Mark chapter 12. I'm giving you the other version of that question the Pharisees asked Jesus. This is Mark's account. You know, when those Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest of the commandments? When they answered, go to verse 32. I want to show you something. After Jesus answered and said, this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart, strength, and mind. He said, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Look at the next thing Jesus said. So the scribe, one of the scribes said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there is no other but He. He said, and to love Him with what? This is the scribe talking, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as yourself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Look at what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, so when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. Listen, when people are making attempt to know God. Are you getting me? Don't be the obstacle that stops them. Some people are not in the kingdom, but in the words of Jesus, they are not what? They are not far. They are coming. And when we see people coming, what we should do is to open doors for them to come. Because nothing has pushed people away from the gospel message and from the church like condemnation. And the reason a lot of people have lost faith in church is not because our message is not strong. It's not because the Holy Spirit is not here. It's the walls we build among ourselves. Let's start by breaking the ones inside, the partitions, break them down. And reach out with the love of God. There are people who are not far from the kingdom. Say amen. Some years ago, one of my cousins, my uncles, is a pastor. He's not a pastor of our denomination. He came to Boko and he came to church. It was not a service day. So he was going and I said, Pastor Armin, are you the ones that built this? I said, it's God. He said, God, you built it. I said, yes, sir. He said, wow. This is lovely. This is beautiful. I was looking at the rock building. So as we're talking, one of his colleagues came to church, who had started attending church because they used to work together before he resigned and went into full-time ministry. So the man came and greeted me, Pastor. So when he left, he said, is this guy coming to church? Is this guy born again now? At the time, the guy was not born again. You know, this would have come to church. And so I said, yeah, the guy comes to church. I said, well, he's not born again. You know, but he has been coming to church lately. He said, Pastor, that he's even coming to church is something you should be thanking God for. You should be rejoicing. He said, you know, for years we tried to get him to come to church. He never followed us. And you are here. He's coming. He said, how long has he been coming? He's been coming for about a year. He said, he's inside the kingdom. He's inside the kingdom. So he looked at me and said, look, learn to rejoice. Because it's an older part. It's an older person. He said, learn to rejoice when people are making attempts and strides to know God. Encourage them. Stir them. Are you getting me? Don't be an obstacle. And that's the same thing I say to you tonight. Amen. Encourage people wherever they are in their walk with God. Rather than condemn them, encourage them. Pray for them. And love them into the fullness of who God has designed for them to be. Let's stand up, amen. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it. Because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.